Very good. Turn with me in your pew Bible to Genesis chapter 6, starting at verse 9 through 22. And we return to the book of Genesis. We're in our series. I forgot to get my bricks out, so I'll get them out next week. So we are in Genesis chapter 6. We're studying Genesis 1 through chapter 11. We continue in this book about our foundation is God, and from there we build and we get to our worldview of what we believe that's going on in the world that we live in today through the creation story and the things that are going on here. So today is part 2 of my message. If you remember, we talked about the wickedness of the earth and how bad it was getting, and God decided that I'm going to do something about it. And so we're going to continue the end of chapter 6 this morning. And there's a lot of good stuff in here this morning as well. I think you'll find quite interesting. So beginning at verse 9, this is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Some versions say gopher wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Some versions you might refer to cubits, which we'll talk about this morning. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has the breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray today that you open your scripture to us, Lord, through your Holy Spirit for those that have gathered here, those that, Lord, may you open their minds, hearts, and souls to receive your teaching today. And Lord, I pray too that these words are your words and not mine. May you fill me with that same Holy Spirit, Lord, as I bring your words to your people. In Jesus I pray, amen. Most of you are aware that Dory and I have three sons, but maybe you're not. Some of you are fairly new to our congregation. This is a picture of our three boys, Levi, Quinn, and Aaron. And Levi's the oldest, Quinn's in the middle, and Aaron. And this is taken the summer of July of 2010. Now, some of you will recognize why July 2010. That is the same month that we moved into the parsonage. And some of you helped us move from the farm here into town. And that's how old our boys were back then. And you got to see them grow, along with a lot of children in this congregation in the last 10 years. And so you know that they don't stay small. And so today, this is the picture taken at Christmas time of those same three boys. Levi is our oldest, and most of you know he's now a deputy for Lyon County. Quinn is our second son there in the black vest on the side, and he goes to school in Colorado for physical therapy. And Aaron is in the middle, and he's a senior at West Lyon. And so he'll be joining his brother in Colorado as well this fall. And so let me just say this. Some of you have worried. Rob, your sons are migrating to Colorado. Are you going to go with? And I'm going to say this to you so you know, so you can be at rest. God has no intention to move us yet at this time. We love being here in this church, in this congregation, and in this community. So don't get worried as you grasp, oh no, two of them are living in Colorado. But I will say this, we will visit often because we love that state and what it has to offer. But they provide us with a lot of joy, our family does. And so let me also introduce you to another family this morning, the family of Noah. Noah had three sons as well. And you read them and heard about them by name, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. But more importantly, I want you to think about verse 9 this morning. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. So I want you to think about that as God is talking with Noah and he's giving him instruction of what has to take place and what has to go on as he builds this ark we're going to talk about here this morning as well. But we're reminded of Noah's faith. Noah's faith brought about the ability to carry out God's instruction for salvation. And I am thankful that Noah listened to God. You know why? Because you and I wouldn't be here today if that was the case. He continued on the human existence of our lives. And we all transcend from Noah and his three boys this morning. So let's get into this scripture this morning. There are three verses I want to share with you briefly as well as we get into other areas. So in this set of verses, we have three firsts given to us once again. We read that God's going to send a flood to judge man's wickedness. That's the first thing. Second, there's the first time that the word flood is used in Scripture. They would have not known what that word was because it had never rained upon the earth. The water came from within the earth and watered everything upon the earth. And so rain's being talked about, the flood's being talked about, and they're not really grasping what this is going to happen or take place. And by the way, in the Hebrew, the word flood means, let me get my wording here, mighty flood is what it says. Like one they've never seen before. One that will be devastating to earth in its entirety is the word that's described, that's used here in Scripture. And thirdly, we see this morning, there's a covenant that's been given. And most of you know what that covenant is, but a covenant is a promise from God to Noah and his family that he's going to protect them, he's going to watch over them, he's going to see them through this ferocious flood that's going to come upon the earth. And you know that the covenant is realized by what mark that we and you see today in the world that we live in. What is that covenant? The rainbow, exactly. And we'll talk about that more in Genesis chapter 9 when we get there. And so that's, I want to talk to you about those three things. And so let me move into another area that I find interesting. How many of you like nuggets in Scripture that you read through it and then you see a word, you don't know what it means, then you get the full understanding of it, and then it's like, wow. How many of you like those types of things in Scripture? I do, right? And they're enjoyable. So I'm going to share some of these things in Scripture that correlate to the New Testament this morning that relates to you and I. And I think you'll find these quite interesting as well. And so let me share. The first one is in Genesis 6, verse 14. And let me pull that up here. It says, make yourself an ark, is what the word says to us. And so we need to decipher that word just a little bit here this morning. And so here's the first word to give you. In the Hebrew, the word is tabah, ark. So God would have said, Noah, make a tabah in Hebrew to him. Make a tabah. Now, this word is only used one other time in Scripture that we can find, and it is used to describe the basket that Moses is placed in as a baby, placed in the Nile River. Do you know the story I'm talking about? Right, the Hebrews and stuff like that, they're in captivity in Egypt, and the mother, you know, we read that story about they're trying to kill the lineage of Jesus Christ, and the king said, kill all the young men, and this mother, this Hebrew mother, she had a child, Moses, and she placed it in the basket because she knew that if she didn't, she'd lose this child. And the basket that Moses is placed in is called a tabah, an ark, all right? Now, totally different sizes here. You get the picture of one that's large and one that's very small. And so look at the verse out of Exodus 2, chapter 3. It's on the bottom of your screen. But when she could not hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket, a tabah for him, and coated it with tar and pitch. And by the way, hold on to that word pitch as well this morning. I got some things that'll go with that too. So one object's a huge wooden ship, the other a small reed basket. But here's the key. They both preserved life, didn't they? God preserved life through them. And so another word for tabah could also mean a lifeboat, that God brings salvation, a lifeboat for his people. And so God used Moses to bring his people out of bondage, out of slavery. He used Noah to save his family and the human race from the floodwaters that we're talking about in Genesis chapter 6. God watches over and protects those who walk with him. It's my message for you today. He walks with you. If you're walking with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God says, I will watch over you. I will protect you. Now, there's a little bit of a disclaimer that I want to make with that this morning, is that he might watch over you physically. But things might happen to you as well in this world that you live in. Not all good will come to you because of the evilness and the sinfulness that we have in the world. But I will say this to you this morning. God will always protect you spiritually. And you need to know that. Always. That he'll watch over you. And so we get this image of these lifeboats this morning from the word ark. And so let's move ahead. The next one I want to share with you. What's the ark made of? Right? Well, wood, correct? But there's a little more to it than that that I want to share with you today. The Bible says, make yourself an ark of cypress or gopher wood. You know, and how many of you, I got this little picture of two gophers on there and Noah's having a conversation with them. Kind of a funny little story. But see, the word gopher has nothing to do with the animal. How many of you thought that that was had to do with the animal? And it has nothing to do with it. And what it really is that the word gopher in Scripture in Hebrew is how you pronounce it. Gopher wood. But here's the thing that I want to share with you about that wood, is that we have no idea what type of wood it is. The Bible doesn't explain it to us, nor do we know if it's even on the earth today. We don't know. It's one of those unknown things that Noah built this ark out of, that we have no idea what kind of wood that it was. So we get this definition of cypress or gopher wood. That's all we really know about it. And then in the beginning, God gives them the measurements. This is how you're to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Now, how big's a cubit? Oh, Jacob's got his hand up back there. I should really ask him. I bet he knows. How long do you think it is? You're exactly right. How many of you knew that? Right? So here's how they would have measured it. This is the simple, Jacob, look at what I'm going to do here. This is the simple measurement of a cubit, is that they measured from the elbow to the tip of the longest finger. That's what they used back then to build the ark. And they built the temple in that same fashion, and they also built other things that God commanded people to build back then, is they used that measurement. Now, it would have been of a grown man, because obviously, I'm not a very big guy as well. And so, you know, Brian's hand, you've seen him sing up here, his length would probably be a little longer than mine, right? But the average was around 18 inches is what they built the ark from. And so when God said, here, in the Bible, it said this, right? 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. And now you can kind of see that, you do the math on it. So here's the differences. We don't have the exact measurement on the ark, but there's this discrepancy between 18 and 20 inches. And so it could have been as long as 510 feet or 450 feet is what Scripture says. It could have been as wide as 85 foot or 75 foot or as high as 51 foot or maybe 45 foot, depending on the length of the cubit, right? From the elbow to the tip of the finger is how that was measured. And roughly 1,400 kinds of animals on this boat. Now, I told you earlier in these sermon series that there maybe have been as much as maybe just 1,000 kinds of animals on this boat, but there was enough room to put them all on. But here's the most significant thing that I think that you and I need to recognize. How many doors were on the ark? One. All right? Now, why is that so significant? Because in our faith journey, there is only how many ways to heaven? And that's through who? And Jesus Christ says in Scripture that I am the what? The door. Right? Isn't that something, how God designed this ark? He said, Noah, you put one door in there, and I'm going to bring your family salvation. And then we get to the New Testament, and you and I are living today, and God says, there's only one way to get to heaven, And that's through my son, Jesus Christ. There's one door. Now, the rest of the world thinks a lot of different ways you can get there, don't they? But we know the truth, and there's a lot more behind that because there has to be an atonement for sin, right? There has to be a satisfaction for God's wrath. There has to be some kind of a blood sacrifice to atone for our sins, and we know that's through Jesus Christ. No other God can do that. And that's why there's one way to heaven through Jesus Christ. There's one door in the ark that points us to the work of Jesus Christ that will come later for them. Now, Noah, it gets more interesting, by the way. Noah's given this commandment in Genesis 6, verse 12. Let me get to that screen. There's one more. Can you advance one more for me? Thank you. Yeah, here we go. He's given this command to coat the ark with pitch inside and out. How many of you ever used pitch? Yeah, some of you have. How many of you have ever cut a tree down and you get sap all over your hands? Yep, more of you have done that. Yeah. So pitch comes from tree sap and some ash and stuff like that. It is very sticky. All right? And so you get this idea of pitch. So when we get to Genesis 6, verse 12, God uses the word pitch to Noah. He says, cover it inside and out. Just slather it and slop it on. All right? And so the actual definition of pitch is to cover. To cover. Keep that in mind now as we move forward here. We're not sure what Noah used for pitch, but we know that today it comes from tree sap, and it's sticky, and it's waterproof, and it doesn't come off. If you get it on your hands, you got to take gasoline or something to get it off. All right? Soap and water won't even take it off. But here's the point I want to make with you this morning. So Noah covered the inside and the outside of the ark with pitch. What was the purpose of the pitch? To seal it, to keep what out? The waters of what? Because what's God going to do with the water that's going to cover the earth? Destroy it. The waters of judgment. And so God says to Noah, you cover that thing with pitch as much as you can on the inside and on the outside. Do it thoroughly. Do it well. Because it's going to protect you from my judgment, my wrath, of the floodwaters that are going to come upon the earth. That's what he says to Noah. All right, now hold on to this because you're going to see where I'm going to go here in just a moment. The same word is used for Moses that floated in the basket on the Nile River. You know what's so cool about this morning? The Hebrew word pitch? Look at the bottom of your screen this morning in Leviticus 17, verse 11. And this will all come together. For the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement. Pitch is another word that's used in the Hebrew for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement, or pitch, for one's life. Are you getting it? In case you don't, let me explain it to you this morning. The same Hebrew word used for pitch is atonement. The blood of Jesus Christ does what for you, congregation? Say atonement. Say atonement. 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 Yeah, atonement. All right? Pitch means atonement. God said, cover the ark with water to keep it from destroying your life. And he says to you and I today, believer, cover yourself with the blood of Jesus Christ to keep it from destroying your life. Atonement. You are covered with pitch by the blood of Jesus Christ to keep God's wrath from destroying you spiritually in your life. Isn't that an amazing picture of God's relationship with Noah? He says, Noah, I'm going to protect you. You get the pitch going. And he says the same thing to you and I today, people, as a church, as believers. You got to walk with my Jesus, my son, because he died on the cross and he shed his blood that you could be covered in it entirely, that you may be protected. That when you pass away from this earth or the good Lord comes back, instead of you standing in the judgment seat, Jesus is there. and you get to walk right on by, right past the Milky Way, right? If you remember a couple weeks ago, right into the presence of Jesus Christ in heaven for eternity. That's the importance of pitch in the Bible today. I think that's an awesome story of how God works for you and I. Let me finish with this morning. God is the protector of his people. Church is known as family. He offers you and I the same protection, the same salvation under his wing. Now take note, besides the animals and all the feed that had to be brought on board, what else could Noah bring along? Did he load up his couch and did he load up his nice lamp and he took the fridge on there? And no, what did he get? What did God tell him? This is what you get to take, Noah. You take the animals, you take all the feed, and who else gets to go with? His family. Yeah. Did you know that there's only one thing that you can take with you to heaven? And guess what it is, church? Your family. That's it. That's what he says. Back to my three boys, our three boys. The most important thing that Dory and I can do is teach them about Jesus Christ. I have to let God do his part, but it's my job as a parent to share the good news of the pitch of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm hoping, and I know that Jesus lives in all three of their hearts, because we have those conversations. Because I don't want them to experience the wrath of God. And I pray that as a church family, you think about your families. Some go astray, but keep praying. Don't give up. Some come to the Lord. Some sooner, some later. God works in many mysterious ways. But I want you to know that God is the protector of our faith through Jesus Christ. You know, we talked about Anita here this morning. And her job is to help you walk that walk. Use it. She's here to try to help you navigate those tough situations that you find yourself in. And let me tell you what, there are some tough situations that we've been through in this church. And I know there'll be more to come. That's just part of life. But God will see us through every storm because you're covered in the pitch. Hold on to that promise today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your promises today in Scripture. Lord, your sacrifice on the cross for our sins. Lord, and how that relates to Noah's life, and Lord, and how you protected and watched over him, and the instructions you gave him to build this ark, and the words that you use still relate to us today. Lord, your greatness is overwhelming to us. And how perfect your language is in Scripture, and how it speaks to us in so many ways. Continue to bring that word to life for us, Lord, that we may understand your ways and your teaching. Lord, bless your people today. In Jesus I pray, amen.